Well, hey there, everybody. Darren Garman here, and I welcome you to this week's podcast. Wow. Already another week has gone by, and another upcoming story of the strange. And this time, as I've been doing during the month of Halloween, following the strange but true theme that we've had, this time we're actually going to talk about real estate. The last couple of weeks have not been about real estate, but you have to admit, if you listen to those podcasts, those were some strange but true stories, and hopefully you were not only got a laugh out of them, you were entertained by them, but hopefully there was some good stuff in there for you too, other than that. But this podcast this week is going to provide you the basically, I can't believe that happened. So some of you are not going to believe the story I'm going to tell. I know many of you won't, but I promise you what I'm going to tell you is absolutely true. And so let's go back to mid-1990s. And in the mid-1990s, I had just gotten into the real estate business. And one of the things that I was really into at that time was foreclosures. And if you remember back in the 90s, you couldn't turn on a TV, listen to the radio, you couldn't do anything without some kind of real get rich in real estate infomercial pitch coming at you to buy a bunch of books and tapes. And back then it was tapes, CDs maybe, but of course cassette tapes too. And so, of course, I was one of those folks that, you know, bought the books and the tapes, and I bought a foreclosure course. Well, so in the mid-90s, after buying that course, I'm in the courthouse. I'm looking through the sheriff sales and the properties that are in foreclosure. I'm doing all of the necessary research on finding out what property is in foreclosure. I'm doing everything I need to do to contact those homeowners in foreclosure to basically see if I can buy their house. Now, remember, the goal here is when you work on foreclosures, obviously, it's to buy properties at a discount. So that's what I was looking to do. And like most everything that is sold, especially when it comes to get rich fast, there's a hell of a lot more time, effort, energy, and work that are needed in order for you to make even a little bit of money than what you're told. And so for months, maybe even 18 to 24 months, I spent hours and hours working on foreclosures with nothing. I mean, I had nothing happen, no results. I spent money, no return, spent hundreds and hundreds of hours of time, no return, and I was really starting to reach the bottom here and basically saying, forget this, I'm moving on. So I was about ready to give up. When one day, as I'm going through the foreclosures again, I find a house in the west side of Cedar Rapids that had a mortgage on it. Basically, the debt, the amount of money that was owed, was about $53,000. Doing some research, I found out the house was probably worth $87,000 to $88,000. Holy cow, this might be an opportunity. So I do more research. I go to the property, walk around it, check it out. I didn't inspect it because someone still lived in the property, right? But I found out, hey, this property isn't going to need tens of thousands of dollars worth of work like a lot of foreclosures do. It's not going to need a bunch of capital improvements, a bunch of time, effort, energy, contractors. Not that the property was automatically ready to go, but compared to 99.9% of the foreclosures out there, I'm going to tell you, wow, this place was in great condition. So now I'm excited, but I still got to talk to the homeowner, right? So I call the homeowner, and we'll just call her Mrs. Smith. Mrs. Smith answers the phone, and I tell her that I am an investor. I'm looking to buy real estate houses. I noticed that their property is in foreclosure. I'm wondering if I could help. And, of course, how I would help would be I'd like to buy their house. So they could get their house sold, get their credit cleaned up, and, heck, they could even walk away from the closing table with some money to put in their pocket as well, right? And we still get the property, or I still get the property at a discount. And by the way, whenever any other time I've had that conversation with anybody, I always either got the phone hung up on me, I got no, or I got, put it this way, I got everything you can think of, but yeah, sure, let's talk. I never got that. It was always a slam up a phone receiver in my ear, or maybe go, you know, go F yourself, you name it, that's what I got. But not this time. Mrs. Smith said, you know, that sounds like a good idea. What do we need to do? And I said, well, I'd love to come over, take a walk through the place, take a look at it, and we'll go from there. She said, fine, come on over. Can you do it tomorrow? I'm like almost crapping my pants here. I said, yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there. So the next day comes, I'm there early. Not surprisingly, I'm there early. Mrs. Smith lets me in, and I inspect the house, and it looked great. It looked absolutely fabulous. And so after the inspection, sat down at the kitchen table with Mrs. Smith and told her that I'd like to have an offer to her tomorrow to look at on the house. And it was important because the sheriff's sale, the property's going to sheriff's sale auction in 60 days. So we needed to get this wrapped up fast. So I said, I'll bring you an offer that will get this wrapped up in a month. And then again, I reiterated the fact that they'll get their house sold. They'll have money in their pocket to move on. We'll buy the house and everything. It sounded like this is going to be great. She said, fine, I'll be here. Come on over. So I go back. I have an offer drafted for $60,000. So basically what that means is they would get $5,000 at closing after they paid off their bills. It was actually closer to $6,000. We get the property for about $60,000. It's worth $88,000. Okay. Can you see how I'm excited about this? So I go over there the next day with the offer. She looks at it. I go over it with her. And she says, it looks fine, but she wants her husband to look at it. So background on husband. As you notice, I haven't talked about anybody else in the house. Mrs. Smith was married to Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith was a truck driver. So Mr. Smith was gone most days of the week and was gone every time I came over. But she told me, she said, you know, I've been talking with my husband. He knows what's going on. He'll be here tonight for a short time. Then he's got to leave in the morning. So I'll go over this with him. I'm probably going to sign it. I'll have him look at it. And if there's not any problems, we'll get this signed and you can come by and get it tomorrow and we can be on our way. Again, I'm crapping my pants. Okay. So I say, great. So the next day, first thing in the morning, what do you think I do? I call. I get a hold of Mrs. Smith. She said, offer's been signed by her and her husband. Come over and get it. I go over there. I probably broke every speed limit in town, ran every stop sign. I didn't, but I did get there fast. Showed up, got the offer, got a copy of it because I gave her two copies. I'm like, this is incredible. So I told her when I was leaving, I said, okay, the next thing we need to do now is we need to get the title cleaned up. So Iowa is what's called an abstract state. So an abstract is basically a big, thick record book of the title history to a property. So in order to actually buy a property and make sure you get clear title to it, you need this abstract because you need to take it to a title company, have it looked at and reviewed to make sure there's no other liens or judgments or any issues with the property you don't know about. Okay, so that's a must. So I tell Mrs. Smith, hey, I need to get the abstract from you so we can get that extended and updated. And once that's done, I think we're ready to close. She said, great. I think it's in a safe deposit box. I got to be out of town for a couple of days. Give me a call in a couple days and we'll see about getting it to you. Great. A couple days later, you know who I'm calling and no answer. Okay, I leave a message. Next day, no answer. Leave a message. So for about 6 days, and I'm not only calling, leaving messages, I went over there twice. Knocked on the door, see if no. So long story short, over a week's period of time, I can't get a hold of anybody. No one's returning calls. I'm going over to the house. Nobody's there. I'm wondering what the heck's going on. Now the problem is we're running short on time. The house is going to be sold at sheriff's sale in about 30 days. Okay. So in order to get this done on time or even try to get an extension, I need to get this going like yesterday. So I go another week calling, messages. I visited the place 5 times in a week. Nobody home. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So finally, I call one last time and leave a message saying, look, we're out of time. You need to either call me today, we get this done, or I'm afraid we're not going to be able to do anything. So she never called me back. Now, fortunately, I made arrangements to buy the property at sheriff's sale. So in the event Mrs. Smith wasn't going to sell it to us, the property then goes to a sheriff's auction. They auction off the property, typically for what's owed on it. Okay? And it's basically you buy the property on the courthouse steps is what it is. So I made arrangements for us to purchase the property at sheriff's sale in the event this didn't work out. The only problem with that is there could be other people showing up and bidding on the property. And they could outbid you, and you're out of luck if that's the case. But what other choice should we have? So made arrangements to buy the property at sheriff's sale. Day the sheriff's sale comes, I'm super nervous because I think there's going to be a lot of people here out, you know, bidding against me. I'll be damned, not one other person showed up. I couldn't believe it. So we end up buying the property for $55,000 and some change. We get a deed to the property right then and there. Now this is our property. Okay, we just bought an $88,000 property for $55,000. How great does that feel? I'm going to tell you, it feels fantastic. But we got a long way to go here, because the next thing we got to do, we got to get insurance on the property. So we did that. Now, we had a guy that did some maintenance and repair work for us. His name was Dave. So Dave met us at the courthouse on the courthouse steps after the auction. And we gave Dave instructions. Go over to the property, walk around it, make a list of things we need to do so we can start getting work done on the property. See you, Dave. Dave leaves. About an hour later, I get a phone call. It's Dave. And Dave says, Darren, you got to get over here right away. What? I say, yep, you need to get over here right away. You just need to come personally, need to come now. And I said, what's going on, Dave? What's the problem? Because I'm wondering, what the heck? He said, I can't talk to you about it over the phone right now. Believe me, I can't. You just got to get over here. You just got to come. All right, I'm on my way. So I stop what I'm doing, get in the car, and I head over there. And the whole way I'm wondering, what the heck could it, what kind of property issue did he run into that I didn't see when I inspected? All sorts of things are going through my mind that I could have missed, you know, because I'm thinking that's exactly what's going on here. So I pull up to the house. I get there. Who do I see there? I see Dave in the yard waiting for me. He comes to the car. I get out. So, of course, I say, Dave, what's going on? He said, you're not going to believe this. So he begins to tell me his story. He arrived there and started walking around the property on the outside, making notes of things he thought we needed to do, like we told him. So he was done with the exterior. Then he tried to get in the house. Doors were locked. They figured that'd be the case. And so, you know, he brought some tools to go ahead and try to get his way in the house, because we figured since the homeowners were gone, you know, they were out of there by then, he probably might need to, I guess, kind of break into the house. And he was ready for that. So doors are locked. And after he tries to get in, he looks in the window when the door's locked, and he sees an old man laying on a couch in a fully furnished house. And he's like, what the hell? So he's looking around, and the place is fully furnished. Like, these people never moved. So he's wondering, what the heck's going on? So he couldn't tell if the man on the couch was asleep or dead. So he pounds on the window really hard. The guy was asleep. He wakes up. He comes and answers the door. Dave says to the man, he says, yeah, my name is Dave. I'm here to look at the house. And the guy says, who are you and what are you doing here? The guy says, my name is Dave. I'm here, you know, because the house was sold at sheriff's sale. So I'm here to look at the house and go through it and check everything out. He says, who are you? And the guy says, I don't know what you're talking about, mister, but you get out of my house. I own this house. I don't know what you're talking about. You get the hell out of my house right now. So Dave's like, you own this house? Yeah. Get the hell out of my house right now. So Dave, of course, backs up. The guy locks the door, pulls the blinds, and that was that. So that's when he called me. So I'm like, what in the hell? So we go to the door, Dave and I, knock on the door. Mr. Smith answers the door. Mr. Smith. And so I say, Mr. Smith, my name is Darren Garman. We bought this house this morning at sheriff's sale. I'm wondering why you're still here. He says, what? And who are you? So I repeated it two more times. He didn't believe me. He gets on the phone. He calls up his kids. Within about 20 minutes, three large men in a monster truck full of mud and covered with camouflage pulls in the driveway. They get out. Now we're having a big powwow in the house and in the yard about what the hell's going on here. Here's what happened. Mr. Smith found out when we came to his house to walk through it after the sheriff's sale. That was the first Mr. Smith knew not only that his house was in foreclosure, not only was it the first time he found out they were having financial issues, it was the first time he found out that he had lost his house. He had no idea. Didn't know. You're probably saying to yourself, Darren, how in the hell would somebody not know that? Well, here's what is true. Mr. Smith was a truck driver, was never home, never hardly ever around, so when the legal notices would come, Mrs. Smith would throw them away. When anybody would be serving them legal papers, Mrs. Smith was home and would throw them away. She never told her husband anything. So imagine this. Think about this. Think of it's you. You're laying on the couch taking a nap. Somebody comes to your door and basically tells you you've lost your house. And that's the first and only time you ever have any kind of inkling that anything like that is going on. Imagine how you would feel. Imagine how Mr. Smith felt right now. And imagine how his kids felt. Everybody was pissed off, mad, and really mad at me. So it took me about an hour to calm everybody down so we could talk serious turkey about what's going on here. Okay. And so after 3 hours of talking with them, what we worked out was we would let Mr. Smith stay in the house for a month, not charge rent, not charge anything. This was actually, in my opinion, pretty darn nice of us to do, because we didn't have, legally, it was ours, right? But we'd let him stay there for a month. Him and his kids could get all the affairs in order so that he could find another place to live, but he would be out by the end of the month. Okay. That is exactly what ended up happening. Mr. Smith stayed there another month. After the month went, month was up, he did move out. Kids helped him move out. And at the end of the day, we did get the house. Okay. Now, two interesting things. Number one, you may be thinking, and I know you are, where is Mrs. Smith now, Darren? Where in the heck did she disappear to during all of this? Well, remember when Mrs. Smith basically disappeared, wouldn't answer the phone, wouldn't return calls, was never home? Mrs. Smith had a nervous breakdown and was in the hospital. The kids had no idea why she had a nervous breakdown. Mr. Smith had no idea. She still didn't tell them what was going on. Okay. What they found out was, obviously, that she didn't tell them and was lying to them. Also, after the fact, what I found out, they found out that Mrs. Smith had a very bad gambling problem. So the money that Mr. Smith was making as a trucker was going straight to the casinos to help the habit that Mrs. Smith had of gambling, which is how they ended up losing their house in the first place, because she gambled all the money away with no money left over to make the mortgage payments. Think about how you would react if you were involved in that situation. Is that not one of the most unbelievable things you've ever heard? That you could own a home and not even know that you've lost it. You got nothing, nothing. And you find out about it the day the house is sold at sheriff's sale, and you have no idea that's the case. Unbelievable, huh? And so I wanted to share that foreclosure story with you. that strange but true foreclosure story with you for a lot of reasons. I think it's an entertaining story, obviously. It's one that you're basically still probably shaking your head saying, there's no way I believe that that can happen. How could that ever happen? I promise you, it happened. I could give you the property address. You call me, I'll give you the property address. You email me, I'll give you the property address. You can search the public records yourself. You can check it out and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about is the case. At the end of the day, Mr. Smith finally did get into an apartment. His kids helped him, moved all the stuff out. At the end of the day, we ended up selling the house. We didn't make as much money as we thought. It wasn't worth as much as we thought. We did end up making a nice profit. However, I decided to move on from the foreclosure bank repossession business and get more into the apartments and investment real estate and partnership business, which of course is where I'm at now, and which is why you and I are having this podcast conversation now. All right. So I'm glad you joined me on this podcast today. I appreciate your time, and feel free to share this story with whomever you want. Wait till you hear the story I've got coming up next week. All right. Talk to you later. See ya. Bye-bye.